بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear respected elders, my brothers and sisters, our respected guests, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one God, the one Lord of the universe, and sending peace and salutations upon His final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the final messenger in the chain of messengers beginning from our great, great, great grandfather, Adam alayhi salam. When a child is born, age is a very important matter at that time. So the child is 1 day old, 2 days old. Days matter at that point. At that point, days matter. Then the child becomes 1 month, then you start counting months. Right? So I have a little troublemaker at home. I love him, of course. And mashallah, he's now 9 months. And people see him and say, okay, how old is he now? He's 9 months, he's 8 months, okay, he's going to be 10 months, inshallah. So we're counting months at this point. And then we get to the years, right? So my daughter's almost five. So anyone asks her, she very confidently tells them she's four right now. And then she's going to be five, inshallah, in August, right? So, and then, you know, as a child grows older, there are certain milestones. Right, so five or four nowadays, right, when you know school is going to start, you know, when you enter your teens, okay, so that's a big deal, when a child becomes a teenager, becomes 13, right, and then we all know sweet 16, right, I was very excited to be 16 because that was when I could get my learner's permit to drive, which I promptly did very soon after I turned 16. So there's, you know, different milestones. 19, and then we leave our teens, enter, you know, become 20 years old. But as time goes on, age becomes just a number. Age becomes just a number, right? So now when someone asks me how old you are, how old am I, and not many people do, but children do sometimes, and I sometimes forget. I forget how old I am sometimes. And if my wife is around, sometimes I have to ask her, now, how old am I now? Am I 28? Am I 29? Am I 30 yet? You know, so age just becomes another number, right? And those milestones become far apart, right? So perhaps, and those who have already reached 40 and are beyond 40, maybe you can tell me, maybe you feel something when you become 40 or maybe 30. I'll find out in August, inshallah. So that gap starts widening and those milestones become far apart, then, you know, say, okay, we've entered our 60s, 65, okay, so, you know, so there's those milestones that we have, and they become few and far apart. In the beginning, for a child, it's the age of weakness, right? It's an age of weakness. A child is weak when a child begins his or her life. And as time goes on, the child is leading a life towards growth. A life is taking them towards learning and growth. And through years of nourishment and years of instruction and learning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants strength. So the way I am right now, the way you see me right now, is because is after 29 years of eating and drinking and learning and experiencing and so on and so forth, right? This is accumulation of everything that has gone into me until now, right? So after years of this learning and nourishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants strength. And we take advantage of that strength. And we become, or we feel that we are capable of doing many things. Right, so we have strength, we have intellect, we are able to you know, move around and do things that perhaps we were not able to do in the past. Right, so we've grown to a certain point where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that strength. But after some years, right, so that period is there for a bit, but after some years what happens? What do we say? We say age starts catching up. Right? Our age starts catching up. And primarily, very prominent example is that of athletes. Right? So a young athlete will come, Sidney Crosby, whoever it is, right? Hockey player, basketball player, and you know they'll be at their prime and they'll be amazing, everyone. They'll build a name for themselves. But after some time, their influence, their strengths, their skills will start going down. It won't be the same as it used to be when they first started. Right? So they'll still be popular, they'll still be famous, but their skill level will just not be what it was when they first started. So things are not the same as they used to be as they were in the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this process in the Quran. Allah describes this process that every single human being goes through. And He says, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min da'fin. That Allah, He is the one who has created you in a state of weakness. Right? So when a child is born, the child is weak. It needs the protection of parents, of people who are older. It needs nourishment, it needs support. ثُمَّ جَعْلَ مِن بَعْدِ ضَعْفٍ قُوَّةٍ. Then He gave you strength after weakness. Right? So after that initial phase of weakness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us strength. And He gives you, you know, He makes you into strong or into beings with strength. ثُمَّ جَعْلَ مِن بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضَعْفًا وَشَيْبًا. Then after strength, gave you weakness and gray hair. Right? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing. Right? There's nothing to be ashamed of in this, or you know, something that we feel ashamed about, you know, talking about this, or that you know someone will get offended, or we have to be politically correct. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this is the natural process of life. You start off with weakness, you're given strength, and then again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads us towards weakness and gray hair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, in another place in the Quran, He says, وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمَرِ. That from among you, there is he who is brought back to the feeble old age. Right? So through the different stages that people go through, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes He decides to take life earlier on. So somebody may be in their prime, somebody may be a child, they may have strength, they may still be growing, Allah decides to call them back. But then, from among you, Allah says, there is he who is brought back to the feeble old age. لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِن بَعْدِ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. And sometimes, right, it so happens for some, that he knows nothing after having known. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how He describes it. That there is he who is brought back to the feeble old age, so that he knows nothing after having known. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing the state of the human being. That you go through these different stages in life, stages of strength, of knowledge, of intellect, and then for some there comes a point where a person knows nothing even after having known. In the Quran, in Surah Maryam, in the chapter entitled Mary or Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens with كَافْ هَا يَا عَيْن صَاد. And then He says, ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. This is a narration of your Lord's mercy to His servant Zakariya. His servant Zakariya, the prophet. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيَّا. When He called His Lord in a low voice. When He made a secret appeal, a secret dua, a quiet supplication to His Lord. And what did He say? He described His state. How did He begin? Zakariya alayhi salam, in making this dua, he described his state. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَظْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. He said, My Lord, I am in a state that bones in my body have turned feeble. This is the Prophet, Zakariya alayhi salam, right? He's making dua to Allah and he's describing his state. Making dua, describing his state of neediness. He says, I'm in a state that bones in my body have turned feeble and the head has flared up gray with old age. And he says, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّا. And I never remained, my Lord, unanswered in my prayers to you. Right? This is my state. My bones have become feeble. My hair, my head has flared up gray with old age. Yet I have never remained unanswered in my prayers to you, my Lord. So he's making du'a. He's stating he's describing his state to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, he's also reminding Allah that you have never turned down any of my du'as so far. If they have never been unanswered, so please, this is my expectation for what I'm about to ask you, basically. Right. So this is the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives for Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam. For other prophets as well, for example, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions a story, right, when he was blessed with the son. And he says, you know, how is it possible? Because he was in old age and his wife was also in old age. Nonetheless, when a child goes from weakness to strength, he or she doesn't know what strength is, right? When a child is growing up, he or she doesn't know how it's going to feel, what the experience is going to be like when you're able to do more things, when you get more power, when you get more strength, when you get more knowledge. It's all very new and it's easy to adapt to these new strengths, this new knowledge, these new abilities when they become available, because it's a growing phase. And society, what does it do? It embraces youthfulness. It embraces energy. It embraces growth. Right? This is something that everyone looks forward to, or everyone is willing to cater to. You know, businesses love to run after, you know, that crowd, that segment, that demographic, because it's one that has growing strength and growing energy, and there's a lot of potential there. But the unfortunate reality is that society, and we are all members of society, is not so kind when it's the other way around. Society is not so kind and not so generous when it's the other way around. So when a person begins losing abilities, when a person starts gradually losing their strengths, when a person starts losing the ability or the things to do, the ability to do things which a person has been used to doing for many years, this is not something which is easy. This is not something which is easy. So for example, it could be my eyesight, right? And by the way, for those who are older, you know, I do have gray hair, right? So I can sort of, you know, relate, and I'm not speaking to you as the other, but I'm speaking as someone who's with you, right? So a person starts losing, you know, different things. So the eyesight may not be the same as it used to be, right? And I notice that as well, right? Hearing may not be the same, right? Driving abilities, right? So you drive around, think you're very confident when you're driving, they may not be the same. The sharpness may not be the same as before. Society's norms, the ways of doing things, right? The things that, you know, I maybe have been used to doing when I was a child, when I was growing up, they may be different now. Communication, for example, the way people interact with one another, the values that we're brought up with, these are all changing very, very fast. These are all changing very, very fast, and it can be challenging to adjust and to accept these. So on paper, in theory, yes, you know, we are very accommodating and loving and caring towards our elders and our seniors. You know, so you go to stores, they have a specific day for seniors discounts, right? You have, you know, old age security. We claim that, yes, we have respect for our elders and so on and so forth. But what we need to do today is reflect on our attitudes. Reflect on our attitudes, our behavior, when dealing with our elders and our seniors. As individuals, as a community, as a society, how do we see our elders? How do we deal with them? Right? And practically, the reality is very different. So we say many things, we claim, you know, many things, but the reality is very different, generally in society, but also, unfortunately, within Muslim communities as well. To the point where, sadly, there is violence against some of our elders, even within the Muslim communities. And this is an unfortunate reality. It's called, the term is elder abuse, right? And this is something which unfortunately goes on. Shocking as it may seem, because many of us may be coming from families where there was extreme amount of reverence and respect towards our elders. But shocking as it may seem, you know, changes in economic conditions, family structure and family mobility, changes in the cultural context, which is a huge factor sometimes. The breakdown of the traditional methods of elder care they appear to have contributed to increasing rates of elder abuse. And this is an issue which is largely ignored, unfortunately. It often, according to the experts, takes place where the seniors live. So most often, in homes where abusers are often adult children. Astaghfirullah. Unfortunately. Or other family members, such as grandchildren, or spouses, or partners of these elders. It also happens in institutional settings, such as long-term care facilities. That can also be a source of elder abuse. There's different forms of elder abuse. For example, neglect. Neglect of their needs, malnutrition, their clothing, helping them in cleanliness. Physical abuse, unfortunately, even within Muslim communities. Right? I'm saying it comes as a shock to many of us, but this does happen. Psychological and emotional abuse. You know, people actually threatening the elders, right? In different forms, in different ways. Cutting them off socially, right? This is a great emotional need. We are social beings. We need to meet one another. We need to talk and socialize. And cutting them off socially is one form. Economic and financial abuse as well, right? So taking over bank accounts, taking advantage of, you know, their funds, their wealth, and changing around wills and, you know, power of attorney and different things. So all of these things, unfortunately, do happen. Perhaps somewhat less so within the Muslim communities, but they are happening, unfortunately. And even if we think that, you know, this is all very extreme, you know, you're thinking, well, I've never heard of something like this. This has never happened in Kingston, or I've never heard about this happening anywhere, you know, within my circle. So even if you think, if you know, that's extreme, let's examine our attitudes. Let's examine our attitudes. So are we impatient? Are we impatient if we are driving and there is someone who is driving in front of us, right? And you can't overtake them. For example, you're driving down Sydenham Road and it happens to be, you know, perhaps an elder, a senior. Are we impatient if they're walking in front of us in the store or somewhere else? Are we trying to find ways, you know, to overtake them? Are we impatient when we deal with our elders? Or do we become annoyed? Do we become annoyed easily when perhaps they want to have conversations with us? Because loneliness is a huge factor, unfortunately, when it comes to our seniors and our elders. And if they're trying to have a conversation, and this applies to our parents, of course, and our grandparents as well, that if they're trying to have conversations with us, do we become annoyed at that? If they ask questions, sometimes you feel like they're asking too many questions. Is that a source of annoyance for us? Their ways of doing things, the way they've been doing things all their lives, right? Is that something that starts to annoy us? Are we inconsiderate when it comes to, you know, holding doors, helping people with their groceries, maybe, you know, cleaning their snow off their out of their driveway, offering assistance? Are we inconsiderate about these things? Are we critical about the decisions that they may make or they may have made in the past? Of their fears, right? Because we're going through different stages of life, there's different feelings, different thoughts. There may be fears which we may not be able to relate to, but they may be very real fears. Are we very critical of these? Are we critical of the lack of independence, right? So we feel like, oh, we should be able to do things on their own. No, why do we have to, you know, keep paying attention and keep looking out? Right? Do we take advantage? Do we take the business approach? Right, that you just take advantage of people's difficulties. Right? Do we take a business approach? Or do we continue relying on them even when we know that they may not be able to live up to our expectations? Right? Do we have expectations that, oh, mom will always cook for me, I don't have to worry about it? Right? Oh, I know my parents will give me money. Right? They will continue giving me money, it's okay, I don't have to worry about it. Right? Or my parents will babysit for me. Right? All of these things are very common. Do we have these type of expectations from our parents, from our grandparents, even though they may not be able to live up to these expectations and may be having difficulty in doing this for us? But dear brothers and sisters, this is not the Islamic way. This is not what Islam teaches us. Right? Elders, our elders or seniors may be facing realities which may be difficult to adjust to. Right? But they have life experience. They have made contributions and significant contributions in many cases to our community and to our society, and therefore they need to be honored. What does Islam teach us? That they need to be honored. They need to be shown respect, appreciation, consideration, not just through words, not just through our words, that we meet very nicely. Yes, that's part of it. But also through our deeds as well. But also through our deeds. An old man came once wanting to see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the people did not make way for him. There were people around him, around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they did not make some space for him to come see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what did the Prophet say? Alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَيُؤَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. That he is not one of us. He is not one of us who does not show mercy to our young ones and respect our old ones. Right? So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us. And this incident tells us that it's not just about words. It's practical as well. Right? Going out of our way to show consideration for those who are older than us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoins, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Your Lord has commanded for you that you worship none but Him. So you worship Allah alone. And right after that, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And it's interesting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say that you take care of your parents, you feed your parents, you call your parents, you give them money. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word ihsan. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And ihsan is a very broad term. It's a very broad term. So you do good to your parents, you show kindness towards your parents, you take an approach of goodness towards your parents, and it's been left open. It's been left open. And it's not just about the material needs, it's also about the emotional needs as well. Right? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Be good. Be good, be kind towards your parents. إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. If any one of them or both of them reach old age, do not so say to them, uff. Right? Uff. An expression of annoyance. An expression of annoyance. That when they say something, they ask you to do something, they ask about something, you don't want to answer, you don't want to do it, you get annoyed, you say, uff. Right? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah says, do not say uff. Right? Do not, meaning, do not even say a word of disrespect or show any annoyance. And do not scold them and address them with respectful words. Right? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the complete picture. Right? Guiding us with the complete picture of treatment, speaking, everything. وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, submit yourself before them in humility out of compassion. Right? Submit yourself, make yourself available, go before them in humility out of compassion, and say, make this dua, say, make this supplication, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. My Lord, be merciful to them as they have brought me up in my childhood, or as they were merciful towards me when they were raising me. Right? Now this is actually an important point, because as parents, now I'm a parent as I mentioned, we love to hear these verses especially and think, okay, I need to tell my child. Right? They need to know about this. Right? And they should be making this dua for me, and they should be treating us well. Yes, and that is very important. At the same time, if you notice the words, pay attention to the words of the supplication. My Lord, be merciful to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the children to make the supplication. My Lord, be merciful to them as they have brought me up in my childhood. Meaning, as they were merciful and caring towards me, you be like them now in their old age. But as parents, that means we also have a responsibility to be caring and loving and merciful towards our children. Right? We have a responsibility to do that as well. If, na'udhu billah, we take advantage of our children, we abuse our children, right? We abuse our children physically and in other forms as well, which is becoming very common, unfortunately, even within our communities. Right? If we do that, if you take that approach with our children, and they have these terrible, traumatic memories of their childhood with their parents, do you expect they'll learn to make this dua? How can you expect your child to make this dua for you when you are older and when they have become older, when you did not deal with them in that way? When instead of being a mercy, you were a form of torment and a form of difficulty, right? And a form of torture for the child. How do you expect that when you grow up, now your child is going to respect you and is going to make dua for you? It's very difficult. Yes, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, right? But it goes both ways, right? And the child, if the child ends up making the dua that, oh Allah, treat my parents as they treated me when we were young, when I was young, and you do not treat your child well, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, because this is not something that we want our children praying for, right? We want to be good to our children, we want to be caring and loving and merciful towards them, and inshallah we fulfill the rights of our children, then our children inshallah will make dua for us and will care for us. But if we don't take that, you know, take that as being important, and we misuse and we abuse our relationship with our children, and then we expect them to make dua for us and care for us, this is going to be very difficult. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Among the virtues of, you know, of becoming gray-haired, especially I mentioned, because earlier I mentioned that yes, I have some gray hairs as well, and this is something many times people get worried about. Right, the first time, many times it happens when the person starts seeing some hair which is becoming gray, you start thinking, oh no, maybe I need to dye it, you know, I need to make it black again, and you know, it's, people are going to think I'm getting old. I say there's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. Right? That's okay. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna min ijlalillahi ikrama dhish-shaybati al-muslim." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that part of glorifying Allah is honoring the gray haired Muslim. Right? So if you have gray hairs coming, right, this is a sign of honor. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is honoring you, is telling people to honor you as well. Right? So inshallah, I'm never going to dye my hair, I don't care. I'm 29, I have white hair, I don't mind. Right? And I hope I get more, no problem. Right? No problem. Because this is a sign of honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, part of glorifying Allah is honoring the gray-haired Muslim. Right? So you honor those who are the elders, who are seniors, and this is a part of honoring, of glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now our community, alhamdulillah, is taking steps thanks to the effort of one of our brothers, and our community has formed, is they're taking steps to assist the elderly, to look after, to think about the ways that we can support our elders, our seniors in our community. And inshallah they'll be meeting among themselves very soon to figure that out. But some of the things we should be looking out for, and we will be asking them to decide what kind of assistant they need, because we don't want to impose. But some of the things that we should be looking out for generally, physical assistance. Right? Physical assistance when it comes to shopping. Right? When it comes to going out and getting groceries, reading prescriptions. You know, these things may be normal for us during our years of when we are in our prime. But it can become difficult for some of us. Right? Think chores that they need to be done, and many times our elders, our seniors, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them and prolong their lives, sometimes they're reluctant to ask. They're reluctant to ask for help because, you know, you've been used to doing things on your own. You've been used to being, you know, being independent, and then now you need help. And sometimes people are reluctant to ask. So we should be looking out and offering our assistance. Not burdening them with tasks, right, and responsibilities. Right? So this happens in organizations, for example, like this masjid, right, where we have committees and people who have been volunteering and doing things for a very long time, right, and we take it for granted that yes, the same people will continue doing the same work forever as long as they're alive, as if, you know, they're not aging, as if things are not becoming more difficult for them. Yes, if they want to, if they're willingly doing it, by all means, we should definitely encourage them to do it, but it should not become a burden. And same thing at home as well, right? If you're living with our parents, with our grandparents, or they're living nearby, you know, let's try to be considerate and make sure that they do not feel burdened. Vulnerability, right, is something which happens, and our seniors many times unfortunately become very vulnerable to scams and fraud. You know, it's because sometimes people are very, very trusting. Very, very trusting. I was just reading an article this morning in the Toronto Star about a scam called a distraction scam, right? Where people go around saying, oh, I want to give you a piece of jewelry, I want to put a necklace on your neck, and it's a fake one. And they go put it, and they take the real one off, and then they go off. And the woman who got scammed, 78 years old, she says, I was happy. This is her quote. I was a very trusting person. I trusted everybody. So she trusted a person who came and said, look, this is a good luck charm or whatever it is, a good luck, you know, necklace, I want to give it to you as a gift. She trusted. She said, okay, this is something nice. Someone's being nice to me. Put it on and took off her real necklace, her gold necklace, and took off with it. So we can become very vulnerable in that stage. Physical needs maybe need to be taken care of, but the emotional needs also have to be taken care of, and this is very important. It's not just about material needs. We do the same thing with our children. We think that if you give them material, if you give them toys and this and that and that, they will be happy, right? And for our seniors, we also, many times as children, we think, okay, if we take care of their arrangements, we pay their bills, we have someone do the lawn and this and that, and clean the house, they're all good. No, those are material needs, they're important, but there's also emotional needs as well. Loneliness is a big factor when it comes to seniors and elders, right? So just spending time is something which is very valuable. Caring and offering reassurance and, you know, making them feel honored and wanted. These things are very important. So our responsibility is to honor our elders and our seniors and assist them. And we must remember that we will all be seniors and elders one day, inshallah. Right? We think about our retirement, right? We think about, you know, our funds and all of that. But we also have to think about the services that we have in place to take care of our elders. So these initiatives and efforts and programs, inshallah, they're going to be for our benefit as well. And what I want to wrap up with is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, who said that if a young person honors an older person on account of his or her age, what does Allah do? Allah appoints someone to show reverence to him or her in their old age. Right? If a young person honors an older person on account of their age, Allah appoints someone to show reverence to them in their old age. Right? So not only are we benefiting others, right, but this is something that inshallah will benefit us as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the ability to and understanding to really show respect and reverence to our elders and our seniors, not just through our words, but through our deeds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a community which is loving and accepting and inclusive of our elders and our seniors, that appreciates their efforts and their sacrifices which they have made. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to develop the programs, initiatives, and the services that they need, and inshallah we will need one day as well. Ameen wa akhira da'wana, alhamdulillah.